This is the Sue Freed Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
It's not a big deal. Let it wash all the bugs off my windshield. Cause you're showing me that in you I'm free. And you're still the refuge that I've just got to get to. And ooh, there's something about the way you sunshine's on my face. It's a love so true I can never get enough of you. This feeling can't be wrong. I'm about to get my worship on. Take me away. It's a beautiful day.
Here's your host, Sue Freed.
So here we are together on the Sue Freed Show, and you know, this day, I don't know, this day has been an incredible day, and I know there's lessons to be learned, and you might be saying the same thing. You might be going, wow, what a day, what a week. And here we are together now. So I'm going to give you a little recap of mine, and then you can determine whether yours has been better or worse than mine, all right? Because sometimes we learn from other people's struggles, and sometimes we think it's so bad out there, but then there's someone that definitely has things a whole lot worse. Have you found that to be true? So, you know, I came in today and I'm just like having to remind myself to breathe. My emotions are in my throat. Just so much happening. So here's what's happened to me. And I don't normally talk about what's happened to me unless I feel like it's going to benefit. And I think today it might. I don't know, though, but God knows. So he's in control. What's happened to me in the last, I don't know, since last Wednesday is I went to work as normal. You know, you just go to work. I took a shower that morning and I prayed that morning and I asked to be a blessing to those that I come in contact with. Standard operating procedure, you know, habits that we form. And the week before I had just finished a chapter in a new book, which this is not a plug, but I'll just tell you that weekend before I spent Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the entire time, besides taking a walk and just taking a breath and, you know, getting something to eat and whatnot, I was asked to co-author a book on change. I had no idea, you know, what was inside my heart and my mind and what the Lord was revealing to me during this 3-day process. And I had started it long before that. I happened to be on a family trip with on a houseboat that I put together for my family to have a reunion we do yearly. And I was sitting on top of this houseboat. And on top of this houseboat, it was kind of windy, so it wasn't a day where you could get out on the lake and enjoy to the fullest. But we were on top of the houseboat, and we were looking at the scape, the sand, the rock formations. It was just gorgeous. And the sun was beating down. The water was glistening. Do you get a picture? And we're sitting in these little beach chairs on top of this houseboat, and life could be worse. Truly, life could have been a lot worse. And it was a wonderful time where we were stuck. We could say stuck, or we were all on this houseboat. There were 9 of us, and we were all in this houseboat for 7 whole days. And so it was quite the experience, you know, when you're with the same amount of people for the same, you know, in a very closed environment. Very interesting dynamics go on. You get what I'm saying here? Anyway, so we're sitting on top. It was just a time of breath and having a cup of coffee and enjoying our surroundings. And I asked everybody, I got my iPad out, and I'm just asked everybody, I said, I'm doing this book, this chapter on change. You know, I'd like to hear your input. And so everybody up there was giving me input on change. Change is inevitable. Change, you know, what's the difference between a rock and a tree? That sounds weird, I know, but think about it. And we did, and my chapter does include this. And it talks about the rock, because the rock is hard and it's strong, but the weather drips on it, or the wind blows on it. And what happens? It diminishes a little bit at a time. It eats away. It's like that all of the nature elements and everything that goes on is this rock is strong and it's hard, but it also gets beaten down by the elements that come along its path. Do you get what I'm saying here? And then you have the tree, and the tree has roots, and the roots go down, and it's seeking for water, and they're firmly planted or not. And then you have the branches that are looking up or reaching up to the sun, S-U-N-S-O-N, if you get what I'm saying. And then you have some branches or some trees that are meant and purposed for fruit. And then you have other trees that are purposed for changing carbon monoxide into oxygen. And then you have other trees that are there for shade. You know, you have all of these different trees, just like we are created. and we have different purposes. So all of these things were brought up as I was sitting on the top of this houseboat, and my little iPad was just, I was typing away on here, and everybody was giving their input and talking about all the different things and about habits. And we were talking about habits and how if you have something within yourself that you'd like to change, first of all, you identify the situation. And then you create new habits, because habits take 21 days to form. You have to do them repeatedly 21 days to create a new habit. But the things you do every day create who you are. Whether it's reading your Bible every day, reading scripture, praying, whether it's using foul language or reading a bad book or a good book or listening to bad music or good music, you are what you do. And so this book is all about change, and change can happen. Now, there are these people that say, I'm an old dog, and you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But then there's the person that has that learned spirit, the spirit of wanting to be better, wanting to learn. Which one are you? I'll just ask you that. So that is kind of the overview of today, because I wrote this chapter on change, and we talk about that all our experiences create the belief system that we currently have. That's true. And we have an ability to behave a certain way, and sometimes our emotions and our belief system can cause our reactions or, how we behave. And with all that being said, change is inevitable, and change can be good and change can be not so good, but how we handle that can also be good or not so good. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. If you're just tuning in and you think that this has some relevance to either you or someone else that you know, then I would suggest that you turn them on to The Sue Free's website. It's Sue Free, spelt like fries, oneword.com. I have over 5.5 years of podcasts, and they go all over the map, all right, of issues, topics, ministries, and they're there to provide encouragement. They're there to provide inspiration and to let you know that you're not alone. God wants us to know that He's there for us, right? He wants us to know, but He gives us freedom of choice. We have a choice on whether we're going to see what He has for us, and we're going to search and seek for Him, or we have a choice to not to. We have a choice that we can listen to the devil's words. You know, we can listen to that, and we can believe it or not. But we have a choice. God gave us freedom of choice. We're not robots. So you have a choice on whether you want to believe or not believe. You have a choice on whether you want to behave or not behave. You have a choice if you want to create a new habit or keep with a habit you have. But look at how these things are, well, what they're doing in your life. Are you happy with where you are right now? Would you want something different to happen? So moving forward, I'm in the studio today, and that was last weekend. I was dealing with this chapter on change, and I didn't have very many, friend interaction or anything, because I was so into the moment of trying to get this goal or this mission or this responsibility completed. So sometimes you have to stay laser beam focused on whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. And, the fruit is in the delivery and what you accomplish for that time. And it takes sacrifice, doesn't it? Anything we're doing, it takes sacrifice. So fast forward to Wednesday after the weekend of writing this chapter on change, and I go to work just normally. I come home, I walk my dog before I go in the house, and all of a sudden I unlock the door and I walk in and I hear this amazing weird sound that I didn't recognize or understand, and it was water, and not just a drip of water, but a flood of water. And I look up to the second level of where I live, and there is water gushing out of every single electrical socket. Every single ceiling issue, was pounding down on my brand new wood floor. Okay, I'm real excited now, right? I'm like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. So I run up the first flight of stairs and I see, okay, the water's there. I have to go up higher because the water's coming from up above. So I go up to the next level and I go into the bathroom thinking, did I leave a faucet on? Is the toilet overflowing? What is going on? You getting the picture? Are you right there with me? Oh my word. And the water is just pouring, not dripping. I mean, pouring down. So I immediately go and I see my bathroom's fine. My bedroom's fine. Thank you, God. And then I go and it's my water heater, washer and dryer area that is flooded, overflowing. Water's going everywhere, but I don't know where it's coming from. So I go behind and I don't even know what these things are, but they're knobs. So I'm going to turn them. And a righty, tighty, lefty, loosey, I remembered. So I righty tightied it. And I went to the right and I shut off the valve, but still heard water running. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I have my phone in my hand. I'm running downstairs past where I saw the water, past the floor that I was in, all the way down another flight of stairs to my garage. Oh my word. More pouring down water. My car is inside. The water's pouring down on it. Phone in hand. 911. 911. So I call 911. The lady was so nice. The lady calm, not like me. Help, help. Where are you? I gave her the address. She says, they'll be there probably in 10 minutes. I said, where's the water main? Where's the water main? She goes, I don't know where the water main is. And so I opened the garage door and looked outside, saw the water meter, but no shutoff valve. And I'm like, okay. I'm a girl, right? I don't know all these things. Maybe some guys don't know these things, but I didn't know where the water main was. Finally, the fire department gets there, and they're taking their sweet time. No offense, fire department, but they took their sweet time. I'm waving them down, and they're going really slow. Then they park their truck, and they get their jackets on. It's a flood. It's not a fire, but they're getting their jackets on and taking their time, and I'm thinking inside, oh, my word, I have a lake in my house. So finally, they came smiling, and they were so nice, so nice, and they went downstairs, and finally, they found the shutoff. They shut off the shutoff, and they said, you need to get your car out of the garage because there is a possibility that your garage ceiling is going to come down on your car. That's how much water. So I immediately ran up, got the keys to my car, went down and turned on my car. Luckily it started and I drove it out. So I parked that car, came back around, and we're downstairs. They're squeegeeing the water. They have this big machinery thing that they're sucking the water out of my house. So kind, so considerate. One of the firemen turned on a light bulb, and I thought, oh my gosh, there's water inside every single light socket. So I was worried that he was going to get electrocuted. So I said, Captain, Chief, whatever you are, you better be careful because you turn that light on, you could. He goes, oh yeah. And then they put fans on, and they had windows, and I said, you know, maybe you should open the windows and then we'll have cross ventilation. And, you know, they were kind of laughing at me. But see, I was married to a fireman for many, many years. So I understand the fireman lingo and I understand what firemen do. And I understand that firemen, I have the utmost of respect for you firemen and what you do. And you save lives and just all that you do. And I have the utmost respect for the wives of those firemen because I know what it's like to be married to one, and it's a sacrifice because of the schedule and because the fireman isn't home every night, and it's just a difficult road. So for firemen wives, I just give you a high five, okay? Just want you to know that I've been there, done that. And isn't it easier to understand somebody else's scenario when you've actually experienced it? Isn't that a life lesson right there? And I, you know, looking back at my life over 50 years, I'm going to have a birthday soon and I want to forget it, but it's there. And I just think about all the things that have been allowed to come over me and I've had to go through. And with that, I can say I'm not a victim because I choose not to be a victim. I choose to be victorious because God says I am victorious, that I'm a conqueror. I'm a victorious person and I am victorious. For whatever comes my way, I'm going to understand that God's right there with me and he's right there with you. And I have to remind myself of that because sometimes it just feels like I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with what's coming my way. I'm overwhelmed when you have an inspector who decides to say that he found something better and then he decides he wants to come back. And what do I do with that? Or I'm overwhelmed because I'm not in my home anymore. The insurance company, thank goodness for insurance. I called them. You know, there's so many things you have to do to make this process happen. And, you know, it's just so nice to have ducks in a row and have, you know, your insurance in a place where it's easy to find. And you can make that phone call and, you know, and the adjuster comes out and does all this. But anyway, you have to do so many things that really weren't on your plate or your agenda for the moment. And all of a sudden you have to change gears, switch gears, and you have to figure out, okay, this is priority right now. I have to take care of this. But through all of these things, rabbit trail, through all these things, what I've realized is that it's prepared me for the next assignment, that everything that I've gone through and everything that you've gone through or are going through, this is the encouraging moment. Anything you're going through, anything that's happening right now, it's to prepare you And I know sometimes you think, okay, enough already. I don't want any more preparation. I don't want to learn anything right now. I just want to take a breath and easy sailing for a little while. And I get you. I totally get you. But you know, it's not always that way. So what do we do with that? What is our behavior? How are we behaving? What's our thought process? And how are we going to deal with this moment right here, right now? One moment at a time, one thought at a time. You just take things in progressive order. Okay, I need to do this because then this happens, and I need to do this because this happens. And sometimes it's habit forming, and we have to change habits, and sometimes it's just taking the bull by the horns, as my mother used to say, and just making it happen, right? We have to do what we have to do to get the job done. And we can cry. I don't have time for that. I don't. And you know what? It is an emotion that is there for a reason. And if you need to cry, take the moment. Go in the bathroom. Do what you have to do. If you have to scream, scream. If you have to go in the bathroom and cry it out, you'll feel better. And, you know, sometimes that's what we need to do. Sometimes you're going to think I'm whacked out here for a second. But sometimes it really feels good to get your pillow and just sock it. Because sometimes we get so angry and we need to release that. And I can tell you that that is a something that is used when people get to that point where they just don't know what to, how to handle that much anger and frustration. Is sometimes you just have to do that. And it's very healthy to do that. I wouldn't go around boasting about it. It's just something you do in the privacy of your own home. But you know what? It can be very helpful to scream, to cry, to punch a punching bag, or, you know, punch a pillow. I feel like somebody needed to hear that. It's okay. Don't feel bad if you have to do that. It's all right. Today, what's happening today? Well, while I was in the garage with the firemen and they were explaining some of the things, you know, you don't want to have mold issues, so you got to get a company to come out right away to start drying out all that wet wood and all that drywall and all that whatever. As they were explaining all of that, which I kind of know because we're in, you know, somewhat of that business, all of a sudden I hear this big bang, big boom, and I'm like, oh my goodness, a fireman fell upstairs. But no, it wasn't a fireman, it was my ceiling. My ceiling completely collapsed. It completely came down to the second level. And it was very loud. My brand new wood floors are ruined. They took them up already. Since Wednesday, they've had the humidifiers. They've had the fans. They've had the heaters. They've had all of that going and, you know, the plastic with the zipper and all of that. The insurance company displaced me and put me in a very nice place that has a kitchenette so I can eat the healthy foods that I like to prepare. They actually even provide breakfast and dinner on some days, which is kind of fun. They even have a campfire and a pool. It's kind of nice, and I'm meeting some really, really, really nice people, so I'm making the most out of the moment. So maybe there's a reason. Maybe there was someone I needed to talk to, and that was the only way to get me there. But who knows? But you know what? God knows. So I'm displaced. My little doggie is displaced and we're together. And she's like going, what is going on? Where is my bed? Where is my dog bowl? She's just, you know, great little chihuahua. And she's, you know, she's just going rolling with the punches. What else can she do? And so am I. And in this, my daughter has come over and like hung out with me. She's spending the night with me. And, you know, it's just kind of been kind of fun, sleepovers and whatnot, which normally that wouldn't be the way it is. But she's there and it's kind of nice. And so for that, I'm thankful. So they're done drying. They were there from Wednesday until yesterday. Yesterday, the dryer, you know, all of that equipment came out. And so today, the plumber's there because I had to have the plumber come and find out what exactly happened. What was the reason for this? Because I need to know if my insurance is going to cover it or not. Was it something I did or was it something that just happened? It was something that just happened. It's a water heater that's 15 years old. That had one of the tubes or the pipes burst. Now, there could be a number of reasons why this happened. Could be age. It could have been that they were testing the water in the complex I'm in, and there was this influx of water pressure. And it could be that that caused it. I don't know. And it's just speculation as to what happened. All I know is I'm having to deal with the aftermath. And so, you know, you don't know what people's jobs are. You don't know what people do, and you don't understand it until you call them and you need them. Right? And there's all these different careers that I've learned about at the campfire. I learned about these careers that I never knew existed. And then all the needs I have in my own situation of people I'm calling now and saying, oh, yeah, we do that. Yeah, we do that. They have to pack up all my furniture because they have to get the wood floor up. And so all my furniture has to go in storage until they get the wood floor up. They have to dry everything out. And then I have to pick out new floor and all of these things and, you know, drywall and ceiling and whatnot. And I have to have bids come in. So I'm getting all these bids. Maybe you would like to give me a bid. I don't know. It's in Chatsworth. Anyway, so with all that being said, those are all the things that I'm juggling with, along with running the business, doing the radio show, and all the other things that I have. Yesterday, I actually did 4 videos to promote some new things or some old things, and I'm just going to say what they are because it might be something that is of interest to somebody. First of all, that chapter in the book on change, the book I already wrote on learning to breathe. It's on asthma, respiratory issues. It's very passionate and very informative. Also, I am now getting into the speaking arena. I've already been doing it quite a while, but I'm promoting myself in that arena because I feel that's where the Lord's leading me. Now doing the radio show for 5.5 years, I think I did things in not the normal way. You know, it's like normally you'll be a speaker and then maybe you'll get a radio show. But mine worked backwards. I'm doing the radio show. And I thought about that. I'm thinking, God, why would you do that? Why would you put me on the radio where I can't see my audience? And exactly that's why God did it, is because I have to learn how to present my message and not have the interaction of the faces and the just seeing what's going on in the room. I don't know who's listening, and I don't know what your issues are, but God does. And so my reliance on the Holy Spirit to guide what I talk about and to guide where it's going is not on the distractions of seeing faces out there or seeing somebody get up to go to the bathroom or watching, you know, looking at their cell phone instead of listening to what I'm saying. I have this microphone I'm looking at, and I have Katie that's here that's staring back at me and smiling. And that's about it. You know, that's what I have. And I have the reliance on the Holy Spirit that I want it to be Him guiding me and guiding my words to where it can impact you where you are, not where I am. I'm just telling you something that's going on with me so that maybe you can relate a little bit. Because it's really important to relate to those that you're listening to and talking to. That relatability is so important. And I'm a human and I have issues and I've got, you know, problems that come up just like you do. And maybe the encouraging word is that I've been pulled out of the fire and through the fire. And you know what? I feel I'm better because of the fire. And I think that sometimes in the midst of the fire or the flood, you know, we're pressed to the max. We're pressed to the max where I have no idea where the next ounce of strength and wisdom is going to come. I just don't have it in me. Well, okay, maybe it's not supposed to be in me, you know. Maybe it's God in me, you know, that's giving me the strength and helping me with my behavior to be still a witness, even in my crisis, even where I am right now. People are saying, I can't believe you're so calm. I can't believe that you're just, you know, going with the punches. Well, in my heart, in my mind, I really don't have a choice, right? You know, yeah, there's a part of me that just wants to cry. But, you know, in this element, in this time, crying's really not going to fix anything for me, okay? Maybe down the road, I don't know what kind of person you are in crisis, but me, with little children, you know, when they get hurt or smash their finger or get a cut, you know, I'm really good during the moment. I'm really good getting through the moment and doing what I need to do and doing it well. Okay, I've got my head on straight. I'm not letting my emotions take over. I'm totally focused on what it is I need to handle and I get it done. Not everybody works that way, but that adrenaline rush pushes me into focused gear. But I will tell you that once the crisis is over, and everything is back, you know, my babies are safe, everything's good, I do kind of have this time where I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know? And I don't know, maybe you're laughing right now because, you know, it truly does happen sometimes. And it's okay. It's okay. Give yourself permission to not have it all together all the time. Because I don't have it together all the time. I try. I really do. But sometimes I'm just thinking, wow, I am on overload. I am overwhelmed beyond overwhelmed. And people say, you're so strong. And I'm like, I don't want to be strong. I really don't want to be strong. I want to get things done. And I want to have people respect me and understand why I do what I do. So we will be back with more of the Sue Freeze right after this brief, brief break. Hi, Sue Freeze, the Termite Lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy Tyson stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreespelledlikefries.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their two-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
So welcome back after that brief break. And thank you, Ecola, Termite and Pest Management Services, for sponsoring this show. Without Ecola, we probably wouldn't be on the air. So I'm very grateful and thankful. And for those customers out there, Ecola customers, thank you for calling when I wasn't on the air, saying get back on the air. And for those that are just tuning in now, I'm so thankful that you've joined us today. And what we were talking about in the first segment, if you just tuned in now, because I know not everybody stays in their car for an hour. I mean, really, you know, 30 minutes max, right? So this is the second half of the show. And we were talking the first half about the flood experience that I'm having right now in my personal situation, and you know, all the people that you have to get in contact with, and jobs that are out there that you might not know even exist until you need them. And then it's like, okay, I don't even know if they exist. I don't know what their capacity is. But you learn so much, whether you want to or not, when you're put into these types of situations. But it's really eye-opening. It truly is eye-opening to, you know, there's lessons to be learned in everything that happens. It's whether we are paying attention to them or not. The Lord is trying to reveal things to us all the time. But if we don't ask Him, you know, Lord, please reveal to me what you want me to learn today. Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever asked the Lord to do that? I know many people that are like, you do that? And I'm like, yeah, I do. I do, because I want to learn from Him. He's my creator, so I want to learn from Him. And part of that message that I talk about on other shows is about, you know, understanding what your gifts are that God put in you and created you for. You know, you have a purpose. And, you know, my show is about the pursuit of passion, purpose, and connection. And that is my life. That is me. And it should be you, too. Find out what you are passionate about. What really rocks your boat? What gets you fired up? Those are the things that matter. That's the important things. And another thing I realized is that with this flood is the material things are just that. They're material things. I can maybe buy things, or maybe I don't need to buy things because maybe I didn't need them in the first place. So minimizing, simplifying life is not a bad thing. Getting organized, purging is something that's really strong with me right now. I'm trying to purge and have less, because I don't need what I have. I just don't. I've been so blessed. And there's people that have so much less and that are happy and they're doing fine, right? And so I'm looking at all this stuff that I have to pay to have moved, and I'm like, do I really? Or should I just get a big trash bin? Should I just get a trash bin and just dump it all in? You know, maybe that's what I need to do, you know? What do you need to do? Where are you at in that situation? So it's just material things. So what really matters? When this all happened, I was like, okay, I need some help. I need some help. Who can I call? Who's going to be there for Sue who's really going to be there in this time of emotional and physical and mental and just space issues? Who's going to be there to help me through, to, you know, just guide me, hold me up when I feel like I can't stand anymore? Who's going to be there? And you know, for those listening, if you feel like your life doesn't matter, it does. Number one, what can you do today to impact another person? One person in particular I have to bring up. Her name is Lisa, and Lisa, I hope you're listening to this show because you don't always get to listen, but I just want to say thank you to you because I called Lisa because she's very handy, you know, and she's very smart about handy things, construction things. She saves money by doing it herself. She's amazing to me. She's amazing. And she says the same thing about me, and I'm like, me? But she thinks I'm amazing, and I think she's amazing. So we are each other's best fans. You know, what can I say? So I called her up and I said, no, actually, I Facebooked her and I said, you're not going to believe it. I had a flood in my house. And she writes back to me, are you making fun of me? And I'm like, what? I had no idea, but she just had a flood in her house and she was displaced and she recommended the place that she was staying at for me to stay at. And guess what? We're neighbors at this place and it's kind of weird. You know, it's like, what? It's kind of strange. And then we found out that we went in for surgery. She had foot surgery and I had leg surgery on the same exact day. I mean, what are the chances of that? But what I'm saying is I Facebooked her. And do you know that even in, she has this thing on her foot, this big protective piece of equipment, you know, the big black thing that's like a big black thing over your foot. She has this thing and it prevents her from hurting her foot and it's very heavy and she's walking kind of, you know, different. And she's got that thing going on and then she's staying at this place and then she's got her kitchen and her bathroom a mess. It's like mine. No floor, no ceiling, you know, just totally, and everything is out of her kitchen. I'm so thankful it's not my kitchen. Oh, my word. Her kitchen, everything out of her cupboards, everything, okay? I went over and saw it yesterday and I was like, oh, let me take you to dinner. And I did and it was wonderful. But she goes, I'll be right over. Now, picture, she's going through the same exact stuff I'm going through, and she's going to come over and help me. And then I have other people that I told my situation, and they didn't come over, they didn't call, they didn't do anything to help me. And I thought those people were the ones that really cared. But this showed me exactly the truth. The truth is those people really weren't there for me. But here's Lisa. Coming over when she has her own issues, big time issues going on, I can relate to now. And she comes over with her tools in her hand, ready to work. Okay? And I looked at her and tears just rolled. No crying, really. Just tears of amazement that this person would just sacrifice everything that she was doing and her troubles she has because her friend needed help. Are you that kind of friend that someone can call and you'll drop everything? When somebody needs help moving, are you there to help them move, or do you find some other excuse to not be there? Moving's not fun for anyone. I know that. But are you there to help another person move? After experiencing this, I can tell you and making myself accountable that I can get better at this, that I can be more available, even in my busy schedule, and I am busy. Everybody that knows me that's close knows I'm busy. But I don't want to be too busy for relationships. I don't want to be too busy to help my friend who needs me when they need me, because that's what life is about. That's where it's at. That's where the rubber meets the road, my mom used to say. Are you that person? Can you get better at that? I know I can, and I'm going to. That's a commitment I'm making on the air, okay? So now I have accountability, don't I? Okay? So how do you do that? You look for opportunities. You ask the Lord to reveal to you opportunities to be there and to be, and it takes sacrifice. It's like you have to figure out, okay, this, that, this, what, you know, and you have to figure out what really matters. And is it the material things or is it the relationships? Is it the people or is it those things? I can tell you now it's the people, it's the relationships. You're listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And thank you, San Diegans, and all the way up the coast for listening to The Sue Freeze Show. I just really am so honored and so grateful to be able to be on the air with you right now. And I am praying and hoping that your life can change by listening to what the Lord's speaking through me, that it can cause just a little bit of a switch in thinking, a little bit of a switch that maybe you'll take a step, maybe in another direction, and hopefully it's closer to God. Because he is there for each and every one of us. And sometimes we feel unworthy. We feel like we don't deserve his love. And that is a lie from the devil. And we're going to rebuke him right now. Because you are valuable. Because he sent his only begotten son to die for you. And I mean you. When I actually got that, I did cry. And it was a change of heart moment for me. When I realized that Jesus was put on that cross. Because I was valued enough. For him to take my sin. To me, that is just the most amazing picture. I can't even begin to even think or imagine that. But I receive it. And I acknowledge it happened. And I'm believing that I am valuable enough. If I'm valuable enough for that sacrifice, then I need to do his will. And I need to be there for others to help them do his will. So I'm going to read from my book right now that I refer to quite often, Jesus Calling. Very amazing how this always just goes right along with whatever it is going on. It's amazing, but it's just another way that God reveals himself to me and maybe to you. Come to me, come to me, come to me. This is my continual invitation to you, proclaimed in holy whispers. When your heart and mind are quiet, you can hear me inviting you to draw near. Coming close to me requires no great effort on your part. It is more like ceasing to resist the magnetic pull of my love. Open yourself to my loving presence so that I may fill you with my fullness. I want you to experience how wide, how long, how high, and deep is my love for you, so that you can know my love that surpasses knowledge. This vast ocean of love cannot be measured or explained, but it can be experienced. Isn't that great? Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him who hear say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Isn't it interesting that water keeps being referenced here? Interesting, isn't it? John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. So now I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you, and if you're driving, please don't close your eyes. That's funny, but people do that all the time. I've been with people and they're driving. I'll say, oh, let me pray for you. And all of a sudden they're driving and I can see them closing their eyes. I'm like, no. You can pray with your eyes open. No, really. And so I know it's comical, but it's true. And we just always feel like, and it is really true that if you close your eyes, you don't have the distractions of everything else. But if you're driving, it's okay. Have the distraction. Your ears can still hear. All right. So here's my prayer for you. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, I said that was my prayer. It's my prayer to you, but it came right out of the Bible. It's Ephesians 3:16-19. I love the Bible, and I love the book Ephesians. It's so relational. It has so much information. And if you're new to the Bible, and you're new, this relationship is new, people will ask me that are new. They'll say, what book do I buy, and where do I start? And it's been recommended that, you know, I read the NIV version. Because the arts and the thous throw me off. So the NIV, its New International Version, is a Bible that's easy for me to read. I don't know. You can look through and ask different people different things. But for me, it's really great. And they reference things in the lower end of the page that help make more sense out of what you read. And so for me, the referencing helps me understand the context of Scripture for that moment in time and who this person's talking to and why. And so that's kind of important, is to keep things in context, isn't it? And they say that, you know, there's different books for different types of things. And the four Gospels is really important just for accountability and to take account in the beginning. And John is for the new believer. And so if you read John, that will help you to get started. And then each book has like an overview, like Philippians. I put joy at the front of that because Philippians is the joy chapter. Ephesians for me is relational. It's telling you how to be a better wife, a better husband, a better mother, better father, and a better child. And so when you read Ephesians, and it gives you so much hope, just like the prayer that I just read from Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, it helps you be a better person. Then there's Proverbs, okay? Proverbs are in the middle of the Bible around. And Proverbs, there's 31 for a reason. It's one for each day. And it kind of tells you, you know, if you do this, this will happen. It kind of is kind of like that rule book kind of thing. And is it always true? And does it always happen? No. There's always exceptions to every rule. We learn that in life, don't we? But we still have to have those rules because those rules kind of give us that security to know that there is some safety, boundaries, balance in life. Those rules are there for a reason. There are countries that don't have rules and they're, you know, just all over the place. And so it's really nice to have that security. I kind of relate that to children. You know, when my children were little, you know, their boundaries were smaller, right? And as they got older, you know, the boundaries got a little wider. First of all, it's the playpen, right? It's not very big, is it? But they can't get hurt in there, at least hopefully not. And then, you know, they start walking and we have to give them a little more room so they can walk a little further and whatnot. And then it's like, okay, crossing the street. Do we allow them to do that? Should they always be holding hands? Do they look both ways? You know, we teach them how to do these things to where we can give them a longer leash, even if it's not a visible leash. Our cell phones sometimes are an electronic leash. But my daughter used to say, you know, Mom, you trust me. And I said, well, I trust you because you haven't given me reason not to trust you. You abide by our rules here. And as long as you abide by the rules, you know, I will loosen that length of that leash on you because you abide by the rules. The minute you don't abide by the rules, the leash gets smaller. Consequences happen, don't they? And so there's a parent out there that maybe needed encouragement on it's okay to have boundaries. Your children want them. Your children want boundaries. They want to know that discipline is there. Discipline, disciple. That's where that word comes from. Discipline, disciple. So discipline your children. Spare the rod, spoil the child. I know that's not really very popular these days, but still important to do. So moving forward, I'm asking myself, okay, how am I going to deal with this going forward? I've got people coming to give me bids on drywall. I want to be smart about how I spend my money. And I'm leaving on a trip that was paid for and whatnot. And I leave tomorrow morning. And here I am leaving all of this, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, well, this could be good. Okay. You know, they can get all this stuff done, hopefully, as long as I get everybody in place and I make all the decisions I need to make before I leave. And maybe they can take care of this. And then I need someone to oversee it, right? Somebody that has my interest in heart that can oversee it. And guess what? I happen to have my son who is going to watch over everything and make sure that things happen and, you know, make everybody accountable and whatnot, because we need to do that, right? We need to make sure that everything is taken care of correctly. And if there's any questions, there needs to be a go-to person. And we need that in life too, don't we? We need to know who to go to when and who has the answers. We need to be resourceful. And in the Bible, it says to seek godly counsel, right? Not just anybody can be a counselor. Well, I guess anybody can. Anybody can put a little plaque on their door and say, I'm a counselor, right? You can go next door and get the person at the bar to be your counselor. You could, right? But is that the information you want? Do you want to follow that instruction or would you rather follow instruction that is from God? I want what God has to say. I want to believe in what he says and I want to believe that he's got directions for me because he created me. He created me, and he created me for a specific purpose, and he created you for a specific purpose. This chapter I wrote starts out with, do you love who you are? Do you? Do you love who you are? I have to say that I love who I am. Do I want to stay with who I am right now, or do I want to be better than I am? I want to be better, but there's a confidence level that comes with, you know, I'm all right. I'm all right, and I'm striving for better all the time. And the beauty of this for me is it's a journey. We don't arrive. We don't arrive until we meet our maker. When we're standing in front of Jesus, And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Or he says, why should I let you in? Right? What are you going to say? I mean, he already knows the answers. He already knows because he's watching us every single minute of every single day. It says in the Bible that he knows every hair. He knows every word before it's spoken in the mother's womb. In your mother's womb, he knew you when you were in the womb because he created you, right? And he had a purpose for you. So your life, your being has a purpose here on this earth. And the biggest tragedy would be for me is if my children didn't fulfill that purpose in their lives. And if I don't fulfill mine for mine. And we're not called to do everybody's everything all the time. We're not. So it's really important that we stay with the focus of what we were created for. Because I don't know about you, but there was a time when I did not know how to say no to anyone. And if you want to ask somebody to do something, ask the busiest person in the room. Because the busiest person will get it done. And guess who that was? For a long time, it was me. And I realized that by doing all of these things, I wasn't doing what God wanted me to do. And sometimes being quiet, being still, being in his presence is what he wants me to do. It's the hardest thing in the world for me. And maybe it is for you. But sometimes he wants me to be still and know that he is God. And he allowed, I'm not going to say he made it because people say, oh, you know, do you think God made your leg get shattered and, you know, made you to where you couldn't walk? And I'm like, no, I don't believe that. But did he allow it? Yeah, I think he did. It's kind of hard for me to fathom sometimes, but I think he did allow it. For what purpose? There's been good that's come out of it, a lot of good. And I look at that. And for me to be able to relate to other people in wheelchairs, I wouldn't have been able to do that if I wasn't in one. To relate to what it's like to not be able to take a shower on your own, to not be able to get your own coffee, to have to learn how to walk. If a person doesn't go through these experiences, then they can't relate to others that might be going through it. Just like this flood. I've never been in a flood before. I've never had flood. I'm picturing Noah's Ark. I've never been in an experience where there's been huge water damage to where I've had to be, you know, displaced and whatnot. So now I can relate more to people that have had this experience or something like it. To where you don't have all your clothes and you don't have like a fire or somebody that's gone through a huge, issue with an earthquake or just all the things that cause you to not have what you're normally used to having. You know, I can't even get to my refrigerator right now and there's things in there I really wanted to have, but I can't get there because it's sectioned off and I can't get in there. So, I mean, that sounds silly, doesn't it? It's just the refrigerator. Go buy some other food, right? But, you know, it was just frustrating. And not being able to get to clothes or, you know, just whatever. So there's lessons in every single thing that happens. And our behavior and our belief system can cause us to either behave badly or good. And it's up to us to decide what we want to do in every given moment. And if we have our faith and our confidence that Jesus is right there with us, could it change our behavior? I would say yes. If there's something that you do that you would like to change, make a decision to change it, identify the problem, and then come up with a new habit that you can start doing and just force yourself to do that habit every day. And it says 21 days to create a new habit. Do it for 30. Okay? And every time, you know, just remind yourself and do this new habit. And if you mess up, don't beat yourself up. Just get back up, get back on. And make it happen. And you know what? Be a blessing and be there for those that need you when they need you. Don't make excuses, okay? That's what I'm going to tell you right now. Be a blessing to someone each and every day. God bless.
You've been listening to The Sue Freeze Show, sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.